Do we have to do this radio show? I guess we do.
Yes, we do.
Well, we're here, and we're here for the rest of the day. We actually have kind of a star-studded lineup, ranging from an inspirational speech from Bill Curry to America's leading Buddhist scholar, Robert Thurman, to Mario Cuomo, to psychiatrists from the Yukon Health Center, who will, I think, mainly be treating me. But and we have more political analysis to do as well, too. And all I can say is I don't think I've ever... I mean, I actually sort of think this is obviously a disturbing and disappointing moment in American history, but I don't think it's as bad as some people say it is. You know, it's like really dreadfully... I mean, I've had more conversations with people I know today in email exchanges with people I know today that include the word Canada. It's just amazing how many people have... I mean, the alternatives being New Zealand and south of France. I've also had those two conversations, too. And, I mean, I don't feel that way exactly. I mean, and I do think that there's an opportunity to have kind of an interesting national dialogue, shall we say.
There will be till the Patriot Act gets strengthened a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, and I think for people like us, it's a complicated dynamic, too, because I do sort of agree with some of the stuff that Edwards and Kerry said. I thought, by the way, Edwards gave a spectacular speech. We don't want to make the divide worse. We don't want to act like this isn't our real president or anything like that. I mean, on the other hand, I think, you know, we got to be the loyal opposition from here on in, too. So it's a, but anyway, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have fun. We always have fun at this radio show, even when we're miserable. So that's what we're going to do today. And we have some fun stuff for you guys ahead of us. And I guess we have to take a break right now, right?
Gears.
Snowboard.
Come, sweetheart mine, don't sit and pine. Tell me of the cares that make you feel so blue.
Well, in addition to incredibly disappointing and horrifying election results, I have to say, I think I established myself last night as the worst political analyst in America, although a lot of other people got sucked in, too, but... I was realizing today that if I didn't feel so bad about how the election came out, I'd be feeling really bad about the fact that at 7:15 I was predicting a total bloodbath for the Republicans.
Well, you had that unreliable, you know.
Well, I sort of reliable. Resisted when all day long Democrats were leaking exit poll numbers to me and sort of people with network connections were leaking exit poll numbers to me, and I kind of resisted. But when my source... One block away from the White House in a room full of Republicans that periodically included Karl Rove was telling me that that was true. I was on the air with this, and I couldn't be wronger. But so far, they haven't fired me for that one. You know, I mean, the weather guys sometimes, they get the weather wrong, too, okay? Could I just point that out? So anyway, we have to go, I think. We'll be back.
Hello?
Yeah, this is Earl at Northside
Auto Body. Start all over again. Don't lose your confidence if you slip. Be grateful for a pleasant trip. And pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and start all over again.
Work like a soul inspired. Hey, I'm starting to revire.
We're going to keep on going. We're going to do some talk radio. We're still going to be left of center. We're not scared.
Look at this.
Yeah,
no. Jonathan Harris hasn't been here.
Well, he's...
See what happens? You get elected and all of a sudden...
You know, there's that old expression, with all this horse poop around, there must be a pony somewhere. And I don't know, a bunch of us were talking over the course of the day.
That's a strange way to introduce Bill Curry.
Oh, no, well, Curry's not here yet anyway, but actually, he's stuck in traffic or something. He's a minute or two away. But, you know, there's that sort of, there is that old expression, you know, there must be a pony. And this morning, my friend Maude said, you know what, I just don't see a pony. There's no pony here. But there are some ponies. Like, for one thing that I will personally enjoy, and I think you'll enjoy it too, will be the public evisceration of Terry McAuliffe. Neither one of us has ever liked Terry McAuliffe, and he is so gone. He is so banished from politics after this. I mean, we've put up with him for a little while, but he's better at raising money than he... I mean, ultimately, the Democratic Party's got to kind of rearticulate its message. It's got to get a message that people can relate to and react to. And it's probably got to be a fairly simple message. One thing that we learned yesterday, simple works. And McAuliffe is just the wrong guy for that. So, one blogger today is saying Howard Dean for Democratic National Chairman. It might not be too bad an idea, actually. Although, if you're going to be head of the DNC, you can't want the limelight for yourself. So maybe Howard's the wrong idea. And so there are some little ponies. They're not real big, fat, fencing ponies, but they're out there. There are some good things that will be happening. And we're happy to take a few phone calls here. Don't gloat and don't hurt our feelings. I'm very fragile. I actually have not slept in quite some time.
Yeah.
So try not to...
Would it be helpful to explain why yesterday when you were commenting about how you thought this was going to be a bloodbath or whatever, why it didn't turn out that way, or what methodology was used, or where mistakes were made?
I think at the moment, even now, you know, the exit pollers don't really know exactly what did go wrong, and the people who use the exit polling are not entirely sure what did go wrong. I mean, there are various theories kicking around about it, but I think the larger issue is that, every pundit misunderestimated, to use a favorite expression, the influence of evangelicals on this race and of sort of Christian believers on this race. I mean, as far as I can tell, the one person who got it right was Karl Rove, who said he was going to deliver 4 million evangelical Christian voters to 2004 who hadn't voted in 2000, and I think he may have done that. I do think this election was decided by people who live up and down the Mississippi River and, you know, do want Christ in their politics. And, I mean, what we're now hearing, I mean, the relevant stuff from exit polling turns out to be that moral values track higher as a deciding issue. I'm not even exactly sure what moral values means, but I assume it means no gay marriages, no stem cell research, no abortion. I'm not sure what else it means, but if anybody has any theories, give us a call. But, I mean, that clearly was more important to a lot of people than Iraq, than the economy, than all the things that we thought were important. And 80% of the people who said that moral values was the most important issue for them then voted for Bush. And I just think nobody got that. Nobody got how important it was. Now, that is worth noting. Joining us now, a regular fixture on our post-election day coverage, it's Bill Curry.
I'm sorry I'm late. I don't want you to think I spent the day in bed.
No.
Actually,
I know you've been upright and drinking broth for quite a few hours.
I was under the bed up until about a half hour ago. I'm up and walking about.
Yeah.
And I think I just strung a sentence together. So
that's good.
Yeah.
These are good signs.
Yeah, thank you.
Getting there.
Just follow my finger now. Let's see how you do with that, okay?
Yeah.
You just do some basic neurological testing here on Democrats as they walk in. So what's your analysis? What do you have to say to us? What's in your heart right now? What's beating in your heart right now?
It's a bad thing.
Oh, okay.
I was listening to you coming over, you were mentioning the fact that, particularly the Midwest, it wasn't even close. In the Midwest, voters had moral values over the economy, Iraq in third place. Mm-hmm. And I do think that this isn't just about what Kerry did right or wrong. This is about my party at this moment in its history.
Mm-hmm.
One, for all those people who voted their values rather than their pocketbooks, I would say that it's pretty hard for the average voter to figure out exactly what it is the Democratic Party is promising to do for them.
Mm-hmm.
And our party has relied so much on spin and message. You know, the policy precedes message. First, you have to figure out what you believe and then how to describe it.
Mm-hmm.
And if any of those Ohio voters walked into the polls knowing what John Kerry's health care proposal would actually feel like if they had it in their lives, I'd be shocked.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of what the Democratic Party has to do is really stop and have a self-examination and really ask itself, what are the basic proposals we're running on? And the second thing you know about evangelicals, I just feel that for a long time, we've needed to engage in that area as well, a direct discussion.
Mm-hmm.
The evangelical community is not monolithic. People
No.
who call themselves born again are most often socially
enlightened. That's actually true. And actually, as a gesture in that direction, either Bruce or I, one of us is going to become an evangelical sometime in the next
right.
few
months.
Let me just say, I think
you may have been so frightened by the results last night that you've gotten religion, which would be an irony unto itself.
I love the baby Jesus. We have to take a break for traffic. Hold on to that thought.
All right, so
it's
I think we're
Asian barbershop quartet.
Yeah. Oh, let us live in joy, in love amongst those who hate. Among men who hate, let us live in love. Oh, let us live in joy, in health amongst those who are ill. Among men who are ill, let us live in health. Oh, let us live in joy, in peace amongst those who struggle. Among men who struggle, let us live in peace. Oh, let us live in joy, although having nothing. In joy, let us live like spirits of light. You know, I mean, here, we just got our asses beaten yesterday politically, but, you know, I mean, we can live in joy, right?
No.
No, I was trying to say something profound.
No, we can't.
Joining us right now is probably the foremost expert on Tibetan Buddhism in the West. His name is Robert Thurman. He's the author most recently of Infinite Life, Seven Virtues for Living Well, and he's with us now. Hi.
Hi, guys. How are you doing, Bruce and Colin?
Good. And say hi to Bill Curry, too, who's also here with us and very interested in talking to you.
Oh, good.
All three of us sitting here are Democrats who had a great investment in yesterday's outcome, and obviously
that makes four of us.
We all woke up very disappointed, and I maybe wanted to begin there. How do you use the teachings, the ancient teachings with which you're so familiar, to either console yourself or give yourself a different perspective on a day like this?
Well, on a day like this, it's really hard with whatever teachings.
I was expecting more than that somehow.
Something very, very sad for the whole planet that this out-of-control administration is allowed to continue. But on the other hand, you have to always maintain your own inner calm and peacefulness. You have to take any kind of obstacle as something you can use to work on and develop your patience and develop your friendliness and your happiness, keep your inner happiness kind of bubbling. But on the other hand, I think that you can continue to resist the negative aspects of something that you feel is going wrong. Mm-hmm. I actually don't agree with Senator Kerry in just trying to sort of act like, well, we're all Americans and it's just all fine and we'll all come together, because actually the other side is not coming together, and I feel fairly sure there was quite a bit of rigging in the election in Florida and Ohio. And people of color's votes were not properly counted, and then there's all this computerized, no paper trail, Republican-dominated companies. And really, the question we have to say is, does our democracy still exist?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it possible for a kind of ruling junta to rig elections and sort of talk about democracy and, in fact, just hold the rule by a rigged system?
Professor, I got to say, you're one kick-ass Buddhist. I'm just.
We would be quick to say in Kazakhstan or in Africa somewhere or in South America or Venezuela, we'd be quick to jump all over that. And Jimmy Carter and others have said that our electoral process is worse than many of those countries.
Aren't you supposed to be telling us how to be more tranquil about all this stuff?
Excuse me?
Aren't you supposed to be telling us how to be more tranquil about all this stuff? You sound like us.
I'm purposely speaking forcefully because I think it's important to resist in a joyful and forceful way, and not in a hate-bearing and an angry and, like, violent way, because, of course, if it gets worse and worse, some people will want to resort to violence, mm-hmm. but we don't. But on the other hand, we can speak, honestly and forcefully. This is where I really admired Howard Dean in the past. He was a person who spoke his heart, you know, and not hatefully and not angrily, but forcefully, And love and inner peace goes along with a forceful resistance of what you consider to be evil, but not a violent resistance. That's the key point. You know,
okay.
It's like martial arts. You can be vigorous in resisting violence without becoming violent yourself.
I'm going to let Bill Curry ask the next question here.
Apart from the question of whether there were conspiracies at work in the election, which the 3.5 million vote margin suggest it's no big mandate. It's 51%. It only looks big compared to the last election.
Right.
But it's a majority.
Right.
And he won.
I
watched some of those things, but my own inclination would be to try to focus the American people and progressives of all stripes on an agenda and on a new, an approach to politics from here on. And is there something in, you know, in the tradition of the Bodhisattva and the Eightfold Path, is there something in Buddhism that you would say to political leaders in this moment, trying to move on, that the wisdom of what you've studied all your life gives you?
What do you think?
Well, yes. I mean, it's activism and not being trampled on is actually progressive, and it's part of Buddhism. Buddhism is not a passive thing of just sit there and just run over me. Although activism that on the part of a person who would be able to let themselves be run over without hating even the person who ran them over, feeling even sorry for them, that's the key to successful activism, is that you are able, you won't hate somebody even if they harm you, in other words. But that doesn't mean that you just let them harm you. You can then be vigorous in opposing the harm. And in this case, I think the best thing for the progressives to do, I feel, is like the conservatives, the real conservatives in the past, not the current radicals, but the real conservatives in the past, in 1964, when Barry Goldwater lost to Johnson, they decided that they were going to set up a long-term plan to have a better say and to represent themselves more effectively in American politics. And they founded, like, the American Heritage Institute and the Enterprise Institute. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they did long-term planning, and they engaged people, and they put money in a long-term effort to, you know, change the dialogue in the media, too, and to change the dialogue in America.
Let me ask you.
And that's what we have to do, progressives. We can't expect to come together for 12 months or 15 months behind a particular person and then hope to overcome a machine that has become so strongly rigged.
I couldn't agree more. When you imagine this country taking a different road, do you think it'll be because people like yourself will have converted others into their way of thinking, or do you think it'll be more like the two sides finding a new consensus?
I don't think there's any question of consensus with these sort of religious fanatic types that are currently running.
Well, obviously the most irrational people of any of you, but okay, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm afraid not. What I think there could be an effort on the part of the mainline Christian communities, you know, the Protestant churches and the Catholic Church, to realize that these sort of end-of-the-world Armageddon types, you know, who think that they're going to, you know, the whole prophecy they have about Armageddon and using up all the resources and polluting the planet because God's going to make a new one, etc., I think the mainline Christians could be mobilized to stop pushing certain wedge issues of their own and realize that they should rein in their brethren, because the people who are regular progressives or secularists or humanists or Buddhists, they're not going to be listened to by the Mel Gibson type of Christians.
When I saw those Ohio returns, I started to think it was the apocalypse.
Robert Thurman, we're out of time, unfortunately. Robert Thurman, the author most recently of Infinite Life.
Started.
We'll get right back to you sometime in the very near future, but thanks for joining us today. Robert Thurman, apparently channeling Terry McAuliffe, but we have to go. We've just been told that Steven Seagal will play Robert Thurman in the upcoming movie, One Tough Buddhist. Well, joining us
we're
now also
the Buddhist primal scream therapy practitioner.
We were in the position of trying to get the Buddhist calmed down. But now joining us, and for all we know, she may go completely haywire too, but I mean, we hope not. It's one of our favorite psychologists in the world, Dr. Susan Sample, who's from UConn Health Center. We bring her in on these post-election days. She healed Bill Curry 2 years ago.
He's doing great.
So it took about 4 minutes too. And I know a lot of people spend more time and money in therapy, and just by being just with you, just one quick thing, we've been in the commercials and it was all,
and I know,
all better.
I know today after the election results, you know, a lot of people are under a lot of stress, and I want to vote. I can't believe it. I can't see it. I really think you're going to help me. Sorry about that.
It'll be okay.
I really did feel awful this morning. I mean, I just felt just sort of generally awful, you know, and I usually feel specifically awful. When I get up in the morning, I can pin my awfulness right down to one thing. I had free-floating awfulness.
Well, you're not alone with that.
Yeah. Well, I don't really care about other people. I'm merely concerned about
nice free-floating awfulness. Plus narcissism.
It's a dangerous combination. It's a terrible combo. Complicated.
Yeah. What do I care about your patients, whether they know? I don't care whether they're unhappy.
He's not even sure we're here. Okay?
You could be an extension of my personality. I get a lot of that. You know, I saw a beautiful mind. I know how this works. Well, I mean, is there kind of a widespread malaise at times like this? I mean, do you sort of find that, that people, you know, are just sort of staggering in, they picked up the paper and they're, you know?
Yeah, I find that it's been going on for the last few weeks,
yeah.
too, with people being pretty much on edge and pretty upset and suspicious and worried and scared. And now I'm sure that, I mean, already I'm seeing that with folks that I've been working with.
So what do you tell them? Suck it up.
Yeah, I mean, some of it is I find that what I tell them is sometimes a little different from what's very easy to do. Like myself, I just feel like complaining and just kind of temper tantruming a little bit.
You're going to have temper tantrums? It's like the Buddhist is mad and the psychiatrist wants to have temper tantrums.
You basically tell them to knock it off before they drive themselves crazy?
Knock it off because they're getting on their nerves, basically.
Yeah, I guess some of it is kind of realizing that all the good things that we're supposed to do and, you know, reach out and get constructive and get help, that sometimes it's easier said than done.
Right. I think we have a best-selling book here. We're very close to it. We just need a title. Susan, we'll have more of her. Also, Ginger Hoffman coming in from UConn Health Center, too, because it's going to take two psychologists to treat me. Even if he doesn't, if he's not ready to go, let's paint the picture here, all right? Already here in studio, first of all, remember it's the day after Election Day. We always have therapy here, basically, because there's always unhappy people. Half the people in the world are usually kind of unhappy.
And who was the first person we thought of when we thought of therapy?
Me?
Who was the second person we thought of when we thought of therapy?
Curry.
You? Curry, yeah.
my other personality, yeah. And then I started thinking about other people. So anyway, we do have from University of Connecticut Health Center, we have Drs. Ginger Hoffman and Susan Sample. They are here with us. Bill Curry is here with us. And we are moments away, we believe, from talking to Governor Mario Cuomo, who will be appearing on November 7th at the Bushnell as part of the Hebrew Home series of speakers, a series that's already included, well, President Clinton and Carville and Matlin and people like that.
Bill Curry.
So anyway, we're just about to try to reach him right now. But we should actually officially welcome Ginger Hoffman to the airways. This is your, you pull the microphone right over in front of your mouth. This is your first appearance on this show, right? I mean, you haven't, you never met me before. We've never exchanged money or anything like that, right?
Oh, no, not okay. yet, anyway.
Okay.
You've never seen these cards?
Yeah, we don't know each other, right?
That's correct.
I just wanted to establish that. And but while we're waiting for Mario Cuomo, you were sort of saying that you're already getting emails from people who are just feeling just psychological distress today.
Yeah. I am. Yeah. I'm actually amazed, but not really.
Yeah.
I'm kind of used to this. I've never voted for a winner except for people who get into office and act like complete fools. Yeah. I don't think I can use the word I used during the break.
You're not related to Robert Thurman anyway, are you?
No.
That would be Reuben Hurricane Thurman.
And I don't know, when somebody sends you an email saying, what do they say? They say, I'm really depressed, I'm really upset, I don't know, I can't, I'm moving to Canada, yeah.
They're completely shattered.
Get really close to the microphone.
They're completely shattered.
Yeah.
They don't know what to do with themselves.
And what do you say back?
Well, I say to light a candle where they're at. You affirm how they're feeling, but, I mean, it's only the president.
Yeah.
After all, how much power does that person have?
It's an interesting premise. I think in the case of the Bush administration, total power
it's
over all human
scary,
life would be
it?
Their goal anyway in terms of their objectives.
What are the rules of martial law?
Yeah. I felt that way 4 years ago, and then, yes, as the 4 years have progressed, I thought, oh, my goodness, this is pretty bad, so...
By the way,
sure what to say.
Could one of you try to sound a lot more like Mario Cuomo? Because apparently he's not coming on.
Oh, well, I think Susan might do a better job than I am. At
right, no, I think I'd better handle that, actually.
Oh, yeah.
They won't be
probably,
the least bit persuasive.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of more Midwestern, you know, sounding, so I can't do the East Coast thing very well.
We're being told it's not on his schedule. It's on our schedule.
Shouldn't we be going by our schedule?
It seems to me that he should be going by our schedule, actually, not him by us. What do you have to say about this?
it's a good thing to have two psychologists to deal with all these losses in one day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we don't see that as a big loss. I mean, you know, Mario Cuomo, you know.
Yeah, but for me, it's the straw that broke the camel's back. Yeah. I mean, after all we've been through.
Wouldn't it be kind of like more his loss?
Yeah. Well, so far today we've had Robert Thurman come on.
He's dealing with it. I think he's all right.
So far we've had America's leading authority on Tibetan Buddhism come on and basically try to pull a shiv on somebody on the air. And then we become the one occasion where Mario Cuomo doesn't want to talk into a microphone. So far, things are, you know, really not going all that well.
I just want to know what Robert Thurman was doing at Ralph Nader's home phone number, okay? That's the only thing.
Yeah, maybe it was Ralph, actually.
Yeah,
it
could have been.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, in fact, sort of, it is sort of, I mean, psychology doesn't necessarily have to respond to politics all that much, but I mean, I think increasingly people see politics as sort of something in which they're psychological well-being and destinies are kind of bound up with. Is it always been that way, or is it worse now? I guess that's what I'm going to ask.
I think it's worse now because with media, we feel so much more connected. Like the politicians are part of our families, even dysfunctional parts of our families, and it just makes it seem a lot closer to home.
Yeah. I'm glad that you just said that because it does strike me also that, you know, people were talking about how moral values were really important and all this kind of stuff. And in some ways, I think what they really mean when they say moral values were very important in determining their vote is they looked at the Bushes and the Cheneys, and they sort of got who those people were, or at least they thought they got who those people were. And then they looked at the Kerrys and the Edwardses, and I think particularly they looked at John Kerry and Theresa Hines Kerry. I mean, these are people, if you elect them as president and first lady, you're going to be spending a lot of time with them. They're going to be sort of part of your background. And I think they may have looked at them and said, you know what? We can't figure out who these people are. What do you think about that theory?
I know that's what's said, that was one of the problems with Kerry. But I just think most of it was just the big split in our country between the different, you know, values groups. I think that...
you disagree with me? When I'm fragile, what kind of psychologist are you anyway?
I'm sorry, but this will be helpful for your group.
This would be a good
time. Tolerate, you know, to just be able to really accept, you know.
Okay, go ahead.
We could get Robert Thurman back here.
Do you think people's politics flow out of a personality type? Or do you think it's a different intellectual process of figuring out what your opinions are on various issues?
Ginger's going to take that one.
I think there's a lot of emotion tied up in this, which ties into our personality types and our thinking. They're really linked together. If you think of cognitive thinking processes as well as emotion, they're really intertwined. It's hard to separate those two. Your emotions and your thinking are going to resonate with politics and what resonates, what sounds right with you. I think Dr. Sample had a, you know, she was great to be stressing Colin at this time to, you know, kind of bring out that emotion with him, you know, so that we can really work with him develop some coping skills. Get him to develop some coping skills.
Keep breathing. Keep breathing.
Right. Get that paper bag going.
But you bring out his other personalities, and you've got to keep him company, okay?
That's right.
The Amish woman is coming out right now. All right, we got about 2 minutes here. You know how Freud would have, like, these big cases, like the Wolfman and stuff like that, and they would become really famous and stuff like that? Well, crank up the headphones, or at least one of you, because I think, you know, just in terms of you guys, I think we might have the big case, the one that really puts you on the map. We're joining Mary from New Hartford right now. Hi, Mary.
Hi.
Hi. So talk to the doctors.
Well, you know, I've got to talk to you.
Okay, well, talk to me and the doctors will listen.
Well, first of all, the Tibetan man you had on.
The who?
Was it from Tibet?
Oh, that man, the Tibetan man, yes.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't talk about Mr. Gore, who used to go to the New Age meetings.
Right.
And then also visited the Buddhist temples.
Right.
Everyone knows that.
I want to know.